Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, Lord. Thine is the greatness and the power and the glory. Can somebody say amen to that? Thine, O Lord, is all wisdom and all knowledge and all understanding. Hallelujah, Lord. Father, we love you this morning. Do you love him? Do you love me? I want you to say, I love you, Jesus. That's right, Lord. We love you. We love you this morning. And we thank you because the entrance of your word brings light. And we know, Lord, that you're going to bring that light into our hearts this morning as you reveal the word of the Lord, and there will be joy in the house of the Lord, and the name of the Lord will be glorified. We give you all the praise and all the glory, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Can somebody say hallelujah? Hallelujah? Come on, people. Say hallelujah like somebody. Hallelujah. Yeah, that knows that the Lord is good. You know, I like it when people are excited. You know, I know, you know, everybody, you know, has their ways of praising the Lord and so forth. But the Bible does say, shout unto the Lord with a voice of triumph. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. So it's okay to shout the victory. Amen. Well, let's try it again. I want everybody to say, hallelujah! Yeah, all right, praise the name of the Lord. Now, this morning, the voice of the Lord. Now, that's what I want to preach about this morning for just a few minutes. The voice of the Lord. And I am going to start here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And I'm going to read just a couple of verses in verses 10 and 11. That may be a strange place to start this message, but that's where I'm going to start this morning. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 10. There are, it may seem, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. You know, so there's all kinds of voices. There is the voice of reason. There is the voice, actually, of doubt sometimes. There is the voice of unbelief. There is also the voice of faith. Amen? And there's all kinds of voices, you know. And in fact, you know, the voice, you know, most of the time you can almost tell, you know, by somebody's voice, you know, even when you're not looking, you know, if you know them well enough, you can almost tell who it is that's speaking. Amen? I mean, if you know somebody, if you've been around somebody long enough, or people in your family or your friends and so forth, or some of your associates at work or school, you know, when you hear their voice on the phone, even if they don't introduce themselves, you know, pick up the phone, you know, they talk right away, you can almost tell most of the time who it is by their voice, you know. And, you know, so that's kind of like a you know, you might call it a fingerprint, if you will, in that voice, you know. And the voice of the Lord, so there's all kinds of voices and so forth. But there's something, too, about the voice of the Lord. You know, there's all kinds of voices, and we preached before on the voice of faith. You know, but today, this morning, I want to speak on the voice of the Lord. Now, if I do not know the meaning of the voice, you know, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian. And he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Now, we don't want that concerning the voice of the Lord, do you? You know, we need to know the meaning of the voice of the Lord. And that's what I'm going to talk about here this morning. Now, turn with me to Psalm 29. And in this psalm is, you know, devoted mostly to the voice of the Lord. Give ear. It says, give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory that is due to his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. You know, that's the voice of the Lord. And the glory of God thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters, and the voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf. And it goes on and so on. I said, the voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. And even the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calf. You know, when they hear the voice of the Lord, they're going to give birth, and they're going to give birth right away. You know, he's, you know, talking about, you know, that's how powerful his voice. And he said the voice of the Lord discovered the forests. You know, and in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. Oh, the voice of the Lord. Oh my. And, you know, so let's take a few minutes and talk about the voice of the Lord this morning. What does it really mean? You know, the main part of this message that I want to share with us this morning, you know, this was just a background of what the voice of the Lord. The main part of this message actually comes from John chapter 10. Is where I want to share this message this morning. So if you want to turn to John chapter 10 this morning, I'm going to read a few verses from John chapter 10. And that's where I want to share this message from this morning. John chapter 10. Here's what Jesus had to say from verse 1. Verily I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. And he said to him, the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. Now that's where I'm going this morning. The sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. Now when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, because they know his voice. Do you know his voice? The sheep follow him because they know his voice. And a stranger, they will not follow. They will not follow a stranger. But they will flee from him because they know not the voice of strangers. Well, I tell you what. I mean, you know, if Eve would have stayed with the voice of the Lord and not follow the voice of a stranger, wouldn't have all this mess that we have in the world today. You know, because, you know, she had the voice, you know, the voice of the Lord came first. She heard the voice of the Lord first, you know, at least Adam did, you know, but, you know, then here comes, you know, the beguiler, and then she said, did the Lord actually say that, you know, and so forth like that. Now, the voice of the Lord and his word are one. And that's why I'm going to go into that this morning. The voice of the Lord and the word of the Lord is the same. Now, the Lord, he said, my sheep hear my voice. See, verse 27 of John chapter 10. And I know them, and they follow me. See. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Hallelujah, somebody. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Because my Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all. Isn't that assuring? The Lord said, I know my sheep. And I give to them eternal life. Because they know my voice. And they follow me. And he said, no man can pluck them out of my hands. Because my Father, who gave them to me, is greater than all. You know, and so on like that. You know, so my sheep know my voice. Do you know his voice? So let's talk about that this morning. Do you know the voice of the Lord? Now what is the voice of the Lord? And what is the purpose of the voice of the Lord? I mean, the voice of the Lord. You know. I mean, there are many people that are sitting here today that have not heard the voice of the Lord. You know, audibly. But you may know this, and I'm going to tell you this. You, every one of you that is in here this morning, you have heard the voice of his word. Amen. Praise God. Because in the book of Psalm 103 and verse 20, we are told that, you know, the angels of the Lord that excel in strength, you know, they hearken to the voice of his word. You know, as a matter of fact, those angels, they are waiting for the voice of God's word from you, you know, to move into action. That's, you know, that's how powerful his word is. And when his voice, you know, comes to you, it always carries that word. And I'm going to speak a little bit about that this morning. Let me read something to you here that may be interesting. In 1 Kings, this is a different kind of message this morning. 1 Kings chapter 19. And I'm going to read from verse 9. 1 Kings chapter 19. And I'm going to read from verse 9. Now this is the story of Elijah. the Tishbite, the prophet. And in the preceding chapters, you know, he dealt with all of the business of calling for a famine and all that for 3.5 years and so on, and then for dealing with the prophets of the groom and the prophets of Baal and so forth. You know, but after that, Jezebel is going to get him, you know, the wife of Ahab. So he's running, you know, and let's look at this experience that he has here in 1 Kings chapter 19. I'm going to read, starting from verse 9. 1 Kings 19 and verse 9. And he came thither to a cave, now that's Elijah, and he lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" And he said, "Well, Lord, I've been jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, they've thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets, and with the sword. And I alone am left, and they seek my life to take it." And the Lord said unto him, "Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold," now notice, and let's go down into this story now. The Lord told him, you know, go and stand on the mount before the Lord. You know, and Elijah, he's done some great exploits. I mean, he just got rid of almost 850 false prophets in there and so forth. He just brought down the fire of the Lord, and he's just done these great things. Now, he's running from a woman, see. And after all of that greatness that he did, you know, and he's running from this wicked woman that said, you know, "The Lord do so to me and more if your life is not as the life of one of those by this time tomorrow." You know, so he's running for his life, you know, and so finally, the Lord caught up with him and so on and told him, "Well, go stand on the mount and I'm going to talk to you in a minute." And so he went and stood in the mount. And behold, the Lord passed by. And there was a great and strong wind which rent the mountains. Now, the wind, you know, just from, you know how those dispatch riders and so forth, you know, how they go in front of like a president or whatever and so forth, they make sure that everything is in order and so forth, you know, so the wind is going, clearing the way and so forth, you know, doing all these things. The wind went forth and rent the mountains and it break in pieces the rock before the Lord. So the wind is going, you know, those are his dispatch riders, the wind and all these things and so forth, they're blowing and they're going and clearing the way. And but the Lord was not in the wind. Amen? The Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And then after the earthquake, there was even a fire. And Elijah, he's used to seeing that fire. You know? But the Lord was not in the fire either. Oh, then, after the fire, there was a small, still voice. Hallelujah, somebody. So all that ruckus, all that wind, all that earthquake, all that fire, see, all the drama, all of the thing, commotion that's going on, the Lord was not in it. But his voice was coming. He sent all of that ahead of him to get their attention, see. But the voice of the Lord was coming. And he said, and so it was after Elijah heard the voice of the Lord, he wrapped his face in his mantle, and he went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And the voice came back and told him, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of Israel," and so forth. And then, you know, he repeated the same thing that he said. And he went on to, you know, complain to the Lord that he's the only one that's left. But the Lord told him here in verse 18, "I have yet for me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not yet bowed to Baal, and every mouth which has not kissed him." You know, so the Lord always has people. Amen? Don't you ever think that you are the only one. You know, sometimes people say, "Well, you know, I'm the only one that loves the Lord. I'm the only one that does this." No, oh no. Elijah, he thought the same thing. You know, perhaps because they didn't go to his fellowship. I don't know. You know, but so he thought he was alone. You know, but God's got 7,000, I told him. He said, "Don't you ever think that you are alone. I got me people." Amen? God's got people. Praise God. Hallelujah. So the voice of the Lord came to him finally and set him straight, you know, because he began to feel sorry for himself, you know, and all these great things and so forth. Actually, he began to get bitter a little bit, you know. But the Lord, you know, the Lord, he understands, you know, the Bible says that Jesus, he knows what's in man. You know, he understood what was in him, so the Lord was patient with him. But he's going to show him now that, you know, I've got people. Praise God. But the voice of the Lord was not in the wind. His voice was not in the earthquake. His voice was not even in the fire. Oh my. But why does he do all of those things, you know? And why did he send all of those things to get your attention? That's why he did. You know, one time, you know, Moses, you know, he was, you know, at the experience that he had at the burning bush, the Bible said he saw that the bush in Exodus, you know, chapter 3. Let me read this to you. And the angel of the Lord, Exodus 3 and verse 2, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in the flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. So, you know, Moses, he saw this sight. He'd never seen anything like it before. I mean, you know, if there's a fire burning in the bush will be burnt. You know, but he saw this bush is on fire, but the bush is not being burnt, and it's not being consumed, you know. And he saw this great sight, you know, and God was using that to get his attention, you know. But here's something that Moses did, which most people don't do today. You know, Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. You know, why the bush is not burnt, you know. So, you know, the manifestations and all of these things that God shows is to get your attention. You know, but what he wants to give you is the word of his, and that's the voice of his word. That's what he wants to give you, you know. So, but if you don't turn aside and draw closer, you're going to miss what God wants to tell you, you know. So Moses, he turned aside, he said, you know, and when the Lord saw that he turned aside, that's in verse 4. See, so when the Lord is doing these things and so forth, and he doesn't get your attention, sometimes the cloud may even come. Sometimes the glory of the Lord may even come, you know. But all of that is to get your attention. And if he doesn't get your attention, then he may not continue, you know, with the process, you know. So, but what he wanted to do here was to get Moses' attention. And when he saw that Moses turned aside to see, then God called unto him out of the midst of the bush. Now that's the voice coming out of that fire. It wasn't the fire, but it was the voice. And the voice of the Lord said, Moses, sir. And he said, here I am, Lord. And the Lord said, oh, hold on now. You know, you stay right there, because the place where you are is holy ground. Yeah, hallelujah, somebody. You know, the Lord of glory and the presence of God can turn rocks and bushes and dirt and sand into holy ground. Can somebody say amen? That's right. You know, the Lord can do all of that. You know, dirt. I mean, imagine if you go hiking and see all the dirt on the mountainsides and so forth, and all that bush and maybe some rattlesnakes and all these things going on and so forth like that. But all of a sudden, the glory of the Lord came in the fire. And it settled on the bush. But the bush wasn't burnt, so Moses knew there was something about it. And the next thing you know, the dirt, the sand, the rocks, the bush, and all of the things that, you know, were nothing in one moment because of the glory of God. They became holy ground. Hallelujah, somebody. Now, if God can do that with sand and rock and bush and things that will perish, imagine what he can do with the earthen vessels that he created for his own habitation. Oh my. But when he shows you the fire, and when he shows you the cloud, and where you see the thunderings and the earthquakes and so forth, will you turn aside to hear his voice? Will you turn aside, or will you be satisfied with the fire and the glory? And so forth. You know, and you know, maybe you saw this or you saw that, and on all of that. So let's get into this, the word of the Lord, so I don't get ahead of myself here. Now turn with me to Job chapter 37. And I want to read just a few verses from Job chapter 37 about the voice of the Lord. Job chapter 37. Let me read verses 1 through 5. And he said, my heart trembleth and is moved out of his place. You know, now here's an admonition or you know, exhortation, whichever you want to call it, for everybody. Now, hear attentively the noise of his voice and the sound that goeth out of his mouth, because he directed it under the whole heaven, and his lightning unto the ends of the earth. And after it, there's a voice that roareth and thundered with the voice of his excellency. You know, but he will not even state it for them, you know, when his voice is heard. Now, the Lord, he thundered, you know, marvelously with his voice, and he doeth great things which we cannot comprehend. But when he does all of these things, he's trying to draw you in, you know, to hear that voice. You see, draw you in to hear that voice? Well, absolutely. You know. But like I said, the voice, as he says in Psalm 103 and 20, the voice of the Lord is the voice of his word. And the voice that will come to speak to you, you know, if it is from God, it has to speak the word of God. Amen, somebody. Hallelujah. That's how you know that it's his voice. Because God will not contradict his word. In fact, what you want to hear, in fact, in 2 Peter, he says, when we were with him in the excellent glory, we heard such an excellent voice that came and said, oh, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Now, that is the ultimate place that you want to get to, where you can hear his voice say that to you. This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Can you say amen? Amen. But you will never get to hear his personal voice to you like that if you have not been obedient to his written word. Amen. Praise God. You must obey this written word, and that's when he will speak directly to you. Now remember, when Jesus went to be baptized of John the Baptist, he hadn't done any miracles that we know of. Maybe he did some in the house around Mary and so forth. Well, it's not recorded. We don't know about it. You know, I'm sure he did some things, but publicly, he hadn't done anything in his public ministry. You know, he hadn't done anything. Because it was from there he went to the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. You know, and so forth. You know, and he hadn't done anything. Yet, when he came out of that water, the heavens opened. Hallelujah, somebody. And said, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Hallelujah. So it wasn't because of the miracles. It wasn't because he raised the dead. He hadn't done any of that. It wasn't because of any other thing. But it was because of his perfect submission. Is somebody still with me this morning? He was perfectly submitted to the Father's will. What the Father wanted to do, that's exactly what he would do. He wouldn't turn to the left, and he wouldn't turn to the right. And he was in constant union with the voice. Amen. Oh yes, the voice was with him all the time. The voice was with him all the time. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Because he was obedient to the Father. Well, the Bible says, grieve not the Spirit of God, by which you are sealed unto the day, you know, of redemption, Ephesians 4 and 30. If you grieve his Spirit long enough, or often enough, well, you know, what will happen is, you know, the voice of the Lord will be, you know, dwarfed, you know, by all the noises that are in your life. Because, you know, now he just becomes distant, you know, distant, and you may not even hear his voice anymore. And then what happens? I mean, it's a sad, sad place to be, you know, when somebody is not hearing the voice of the Lord. Amen? Absolutely. You know, I went to the bank one day, and I was speaking to the lady across the counter. You know, I was telling her something about God. She said, you mean God speaks to you? And I said, why, sure. What kind of a father would he be? Amen, somebody. Well, what kind of a father would he be if he didn't speak to me? You know, God speaks to us, but are you listening? Are you hearing his voice? You know, you got to be tuned to the right frequency for you to catch the radio waves. You know, the Spirit of God, he's speaking all the time. You know, but if you're not tuned in, you may not hear his voice. You know, but if you don't hear his voice, I guarantee you, you are hearing somebody's voice. Everybody is hearing somebody's voice. There are all kinds of voices we are told in the Bible. You are always hearing some voice. Now, is it the voice of the Lord? Is it the voice of his word? Amen? I mean, even the devil, you know, he came to Jesus and spoke directly to him. You know, of course he did. But the Lord Jesus, see, he knew the difference between the voice of God and the voice of the enemy. Amen? Praise ye the Lord. Even one time Peter said to him, you know, I mean, this is Peter, who just got this great revelation in Matthew 16 of who the Christ is. Jesus said, you know, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? You know. And they said, after this sort, and the other said, after the sort, and so forth. I said, okay, that's fine. But who do you say that I am? You know, and Peter said, oh man, said, you are the Christ, the Son of a living God. Oh, Jesus said, my goodness. You know, he said, flesh and blood has not revealed that to you. That came straight from the Holy Ghost. Came from my Father, he said. And then, you know, so Peter was saying, oh yeah, you know, I got revelation. I got revelation. The next thing you know, Peter, he takes the Lord, because the Lord said, well, the Son of Man's got to go and, you know, die and be raised up the third day and so forth. So the next thing, Peter, he jumps up. You know, he said, well, Lord, be it far from you that you should go to the cross. You know, because now he thinks he knows. See? Amen? You know, but, you know, the next thing, because he's not in the spirit. You know, he gets carnal. And the voice of the enemy enters through him. And he begins to speak here to the Lord. But the Lord, he knows the difference. You can't pull no wool over the eyes of the Lord. The Lord, he knows the difference. He said, Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Hallelujah, somebody. Oh yeah, well, you know, that may seem a little strong for some of you. But that's exactly the way the Lord did it. And sometimes you need to do that. You know, if you get this voice of unbelief, amen, that's coming against you, you know, concerning the promise of God, you need to say, get thee behind me, Satan. Yeah. Praise the name of the Lord. You know, you've got to stay with the voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord, he comes to you, he brings comfort. Hallelujah. And even when he rebukes you, he still brings comfort. That's how you know the voice of the Lord. Hallelujah, somebody. Oh, the voice of the Lord doesn't bring confusion. The Lord would never go against his word. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, let me tell you something. If you jump up and you tell me that the Lord told you to do something that's crazy, that's against the word of the Lord in your life, I'm not going to argue with you. That's your business with God. Praise God. You know, you can claim anything you want. I wasn't there. You know, that's not my business. But if you say to the church that the Lord said something that's against his word, yeah, I'm going to put that spirit out. Hallelujah, somebody. Oh yeah. Praise God. Because his voice can never go against his word. Because the word of God is the final arbiter. It's the final word. It was the beginning and is the ending of all things. And it settles it every single time. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, I've heard people jump up and say some things, you know, not in this church exactly, you know, but they say some things that is completely outside of the word, and they claim that the voice of God spoke to them. Well, if the Lord spoke to them about them, then that's okay with me. But if he spoke to you, quote unquote, about the church, then he better match the word of God. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Because this word was given to us not by private interpretation, but the men of God that were moved by the Holy Ghost, they spoke and wrote this word. Praise God. And not only did God send prophets and men of God and so forth, finally, he sent his own son. Because in the book of Hebrews 1, we are told, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake unto us by the prophets and the fathers and all of these things, has in this last day spoken to us by his son. Hallelujah. Whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Now that's plural worlds. Yeah. Hallelujah. Who being, yeah. Hallelujah. Oh, the brightness of God's glory, and the express image of his person. You want to see what God looks like? You look at Jesus. Yeah. Hallelujah, somebody. Oh yeah. That's the only way that you're ever going to see what God looks like. It's Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus is God revealed. That's it. You're never going to see God some other way, you know. But today, what does the world see? The world is looking for God. See? But what do they see? Just like Jesus said, who do men say that I am on account of the life that you are living? What kind of Jesus are you portraying to the world? Amen? Now, Jesus was the express image of his person. That means you look in the mirror, you know. My goodness. You know. And we ought to be the express image of Christ's person. You know. Because Jesus was the firstborn among many brethren. Which means he was the blueprint of what all the other brethren should look like. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. We ought to look like Jesus. We ought to talk like Jesus. We ought to act like Jesus. Well, you want to know why Jesus was so perfect in all his ways? Well, you know, he was submissive to the voice.
Yes.
Oh yes, everything the Father told him to do, didn't matter what it was, he did it. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You want to be like Jesus? You want to sit on his throne? Jesus himself made you the promise. You know, he said, you know, to him that overcometh. And I love all those promises in the book of Revelation. But one of the best ones I love, to him that overcometh, I will grant for him to sit with me on my throne.
Amen.
Hallelujah, somebody.
Hallelujah.
But you've got to overcome the voice of doubt. You've got to overcome the voice of reason, you know, that makes you reason against the word of God. You know, when God promised you something, you know, the devil will come in and say, did God actually promise that? You know, and so forth like that. Praise God. I'm going to tell you a story now as I close this message. Somebody that heard the voice of the Lord. And I, you know, I love to tell this story, you know. And I know that people often like a good story when people are preaching. Well, I like to preach the word when I preach. But once in a while, I'll tell you a story as long as it's from the word. Amen. So today, I'm going to tell you the story of a man whose name was Abraham. Now, this story is from the word. You know, so this man, you know, I mean, he, you know, God, you know, God loved this man. You know, and God, you know, he was married for many years. Some of you may know the story, you know, to his wife, Sarah. And he was getting old and didn't have any child for a long time. So finally, one day, God, there was a reason why God loved him too, because he was in God's perfect plan. Amen. Praise God. And God said to him, well, in your seed shall all nations be blessed. Oh, my seed. Well, I don't even have a child. And God said, don't you worry about that. And God said, from this day forward, your name will no longer be Abraham, but it will be Abraham, because you will be the father of many nations. Oh. So, you know, consider this. So Abraham, he changes his name to Abraham. And he's going around, he said, I'm going to be the father of all nations. I'm going to be the father of many nations. Because God spoke to me. You know, and I guarantee you, they looked at him and said, we knew you were crazy. You know, but we didn't know that you were this stupid. I mean, look at us. We got all our children round about us. And we don't even claim to be father of nations. Father of nations, nothing. You know, you don't even have a child. Are you now going to be more brilliant and do more brilliantly than all of us with all of our children? He said, but the Lord, he spoke to me. Hallelujah, somebody. The Lord, he spoke to me. And he walked about for 25 years. See, and the Lord, sometimes when he gives you that voice of his word, he will test it too. Amen. Because the voice of his word carries, I mean, his voice of God carries his word. And every word of God is proven, is tested. The word of God is tried. And he'll test that word. So he's testing Abraham, you know, for your sakes. He made it go that long. So that some of you today, when you're waiting for the promise of God, you might remember that Abraham went 25 years before he saw that promise. But Abraham staggered not, the Bible says. But against hope, he believed in hope. Hallelujah, somebody. Because he heard the voice of the Lord. And one day, you know, when he was many, many years, you know, since he has heard the voice of the Lord came back to him and told him, Abraham, he said, yes, Lord. He said, walk thou before me and be thou perfect. Hallelujah, somebody. Doesn't matter how long you've known the Lord, he wants perfection. And he is never going to be satisfied with anything less. That's why he sent Jesus, made under the woman, you know, through the man, woman under the law, just like us, you know, to show us. Because the devil, he told the Lord, they can't do it. And the Lord said, well, we'll see about that. You know, I'm going to send a man that will do it. Praise the name of the Lord. Because Adam didn't get, he could not get the job done. You know, and one day when I see Adam, I'm going to ask him, why didn't you stay with the word of the Lord? You know, amen. Sin was all his trouble, man. You know, praise God. But he couldn't, but he was all in God's plans. Because God, he had the attribute in himself to be a savior. Hallelujah, somebody. Oh, yeah. So, you know, he's going to say, oh, yeah. I am God and there is none else. And beside me, there is no savior. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, so he walked with God for 25 years, carrying that promise in his heart and declaring it every day. He wouldn't change his name to prove it. You know, and when, finally, when his wife was well stricken in age, the woman was now 90 years old. See? And the woman, you know, the man himself was 100 years old. You know, but the word of the Lord will sustain itself. Hallelujah, somebody. Once it is spoken, it cannot return void. You know, and Abraham should have known better than to listen to his wife when she tried to organize a child for him. Amen. That's why we have all this trouble in the Middle East till this day. Praise the name of the Lord. You should have said, The Lord said, you know, but you know, he said, all right, well, that's cool, you know, and so forth, you know. So, but that's not what God wanted. And don't you ever try to help God when he gives you the word. When he gives you the voice of his word, don't try to help him. You will only mess things up. Because to whom or with whom did God take counsel? Who has been his instructor? I mean, did God consult with you before he gave the word? Why are you now trying to help him organize the word? You know, you'll only bring this problem. It's only going to be Israel versus Ishmael and all of these things. You know, till this day, she will stay with the word. But somewhere in his heart, see, he still believed the word of God, you know, and God was patient with him. Praise ye the name of the Lord. See, because at the time that the voice came to him, he believed. And it was counted to him for righteousness. Well, he had his doubted, he had his, you know, maybe moments that he, you know, but he, like David, I guarantee you, he probably did the same thing that David used to do, how David encouraged himself in the Lord. Abraham probably did the same thing. He would encourage himself in the Lord and say, I know what he told me. Hallelujah. And his wife would say, well, I don't know about that. You know, I'm 90 years old now, you know. She said, well, Abraham said, well, the Lord, he spoke it. And if the Lord said it, he'll do it. Praise God. And even when they finally had the child, you know, and then the voice of the Lord, he came to him again. Now, Abraham, he knew the voice of God. I know the voice of God came to him again. He said, now that child, now this is the same child that God, you know, that Abraham, you know, thought was going to be that promised seed. Of course, we know the Lord was talking about Christ, you know. So he said, well, you know, go take the child and sacrifice him. Abraham said, well, all right, you know. So he followed, you know, he carried the son, you know, said, let's go make a sacrifice, you know. So we, you know, so they're going, and they get close, and they, you know, everybody else, you stay here, me and the boy, we're going to go over there, you know, we're going to go worship, and then we'll come back. Hallelujah. Well, Abraham, he knew, you know, in his heart. He said, well, you know, God promised me this seed and so forth and all these great things. Well, even if he told me to, you know, slay the boy, I know he's able to raise the boy. Praise God. You know, Abraham was believing for things that, I don't know who taught him all of that, that God can raise the dead. You know, but he believed it anyhow. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
You know, and but he was submissive to that voice. You know, so finally the son said, well, I see the wood and I see the fire, but I don't see the lamb. You know, and the father said, don't worry about it. God will provide himself a lamb. Hallelujah. Because God did provide himself. You know, praise God. And that statement was prophetic. Because Jesus, the Lamb of God, would come, you know, and take away the sins of the world. Praise the name of the Lord. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. In Psalm 95, as your fathers did in the provocation, they tempted me, and they wasted 40 years, a journey that should have taken them merely 40 days. They heard his voice. In fact, they said, we don't want to hear his voice. Amen? They said that. We don't want to hear his voice. We don't want to see his glory. You know, you go hear his voice. You go see his glory. And then you come tell us. And I said to myself, my goodness, how sad is that? Why would anybody not want to hear his voice? I would die to see his glory.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Why would somebody say, I don't want the glory of God? You know why? Because they were living in sin. That's right. Because when you are living in sin, when you are not walking in righteousness, when you are not walking in the light as he is in the light, you wouldn't want any part of his word. You wouldn't want any part of his glory. You want to be far away from his glory. You know. Hallelujah. But when you are walking in the light, as he is in the light, oh, you want more of that light. You want more of that light. You want more of that light. You always want more of that light. Praise God. You know, the Bible says that God, he dwelleth in the thick darkness. And yet he said, you know, he covered himself with light which no man can approach into. Well, the thick darkness is to keep people away from approaching into the light. See, but there will be some that will press in. Amen. I'm not going to let nothing stop me from pressing in. I'm going to press in. Praise God. Paul said, I'm going to press in toward the mark. You know, I'm going to press in. Are you going to press in? Are you looking for that ultimate commendation from him that this is my beloved son in whom I am working? Let's stand to our feet this morning. This is my beloved son. Stand to your feet this morning. In whom I am well pleased. This is the voice of the Lord that we want to hear finally. Praise God. But I want to assure you this morning that the voice of the Lord has already been given to us in this written word. Because the Lord, he moved in the beginning. And the word that he spoke, the same word became flesh. And he dwelt among us. And the word that he spoke to the prophets by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, they wrote under the anointing of God. And we have the voice of God turned into written word right here. And that written word is going to go back into the spoken word. But you must obey the written word in order to get the spoken word. But when you hear his voice, as in this message today, harden not your heart. Hallelujah. Now there is a voice of promise. There is a word of promise that God has given to some of you. Have you heard his promise? Can you believe against hope? Against all odds, can you still believe? You know, and some of you, God has promised you some things and it's taken a couple of years. Hasn't taken 25 years yet, like Abraham. You know, maybe it's taking a couple of years and so forth like that. And then now you begin to wonder if it's ever going to happen. Well, it will happen if you continue to abide in his word. If you abide in his word, Jesus said, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you. In John 15 and 7. Then ye shall ask anything that you want, and it shall be done for you. But see, you must abide in him, and the voice of his word must abide in you. Praise the name of the Lord. And then you can ask anything you want. It's carte blanche. You can ask anything you want, and it shall be done for you. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, if you are here this morning and you have heard his voice, perhaps even a personal voice, perhaps he's giving you a personal promise, the voice of the Lord. But maybe because of whatever, you know, remember, the Lord will test that voice in you. He'll even test that word that he gave you. Just like he tested it for Abraham. 25 years he tested him. You know, how long has it been that the Lord gave you the promise? Are you now already weary after a couple of months or a couple of years? You're already weary and so forth like that. Some of you may even be in here. You know, maybe you're looking for the fruit of the womb or whatever like this. I don't know. You know, Sarah, she was 80 years old at one time. Then she was 85. Then she was 89. You know. And it didn't seem like anything was happening. And then even she, when she was 90, you know, almost 90. But the word of God will never fail. Praise God. And Abraham, he was 75 years old. And God promised him this thing. And, you know, he was 80 years old and nothing happened. 90 years old and nothing happened. 95 years old, nothing happened. But I guarantee you what, you know, that word will sustain itself. The word that I have spoken, saith the Lord, shall not return unto me void. But it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it, and it shall accomplish that which I please. Hallelujah. Now, if God has promised you, praise God, according to the multitude of his mercies, he will watch over that word. Don't you worry about it. Praise God. Now, I want to tell you here this morning, here's the good news. The word which God has spoken unto you, the same he is able to perform. Amen. You know, Bible says Abraham, he counted that God who had promised was able also to do that which he has promised. That's what faith is. Faith is believing that God is able to do what he promised. Hallelujah. Praise God. And doesn't matter how long it takes, you stay with that word. You stay with that voice. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. And some of you have heard the voice of the Lord calling you unto repentance. But you're walking away from God still. Well, you know, he calls you and you walk away. And he calls you and you walk away. You know. But I want you to know that God, he wants you to come on back home. That voice is still calling you to repentance. Praise God. You know, but there's coming a time, you know, that's not going to make any difference anymore. You know, once your conscience becomes seared, it's going to be hard. You know, but now is the day of salvation. Today is the day that God has appointed. Praise the name of the Lord. And some of you are doing some things that are not right by the word of the Lord. Remember what he said, if you will hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. And if you will do that which is right in his eyes. And if you obey his commandments. And if you follow all of his statutes. You got to do all those things. Then he said, then I will keep this devourer from you. And I will keep this sickness from the midst of you. Now, some of you, the Lord has already spoken to you and convicted you of some things. You know, but, you know, harden your heart. Well, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Praise God. And I also want to encourage those of you who are in here today, if you are believing and hearing his voice, God is not the author of confusion. If you ever wonder, was that God that spoke to me? I want you to remember that my sheep hear my voice. And they follow me. But they will not follow a stranger's voice. Because they do not know the voice of strangers. Well, how can you know the voice of the Lord? By taking heed according to his word, his written word. If you pay attention to his written word, and if you read the written word, and let that written word become part of you, you will have even your senses exercised to discern good and evil. And then you will be able to know the voice of the Lord. Praise God. But sometimes people do not know the voice of the Lord early in their life. Like Samuel, he did not know the voice of the Lord. But somebody had to teach him. Eli had to teach him. Because God called him in the night and said, Samuel! See, and God is very patient. God called him. You know, Samuel, he jumped up, he went and looked for Eli. You know, and Eli said, I didn't call you. That happened a few times. Then finally Eli said, well, I know what's going on now. Now, next time, son, when he calls you, you tell him, here I am, Lord. And then the next thing you know, when Samuel, he understood that I was the Lord. And from there on, after, well, we never heard anymore that Samuel wondered whether it was the voice of the Lord. From that time on, he said, and the Lord spoke to him. And the Lord said to him. And the Lord said to him. And the Lord said to him. Because God tried him. And when he finally understood and knew the voice of God, then the word came to him. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Now today, if God has promised you anything by his word, and if something is holding back, I'm going to pray with you today. But I want to say this to you right now. That the Bible says, what things soever that you ask in prayer, believing you shall receive. And he also says, you know, when you pray, believe, and you shall have what you are praying for. So your faith is at that time of prayer. When you pray, at the time you pray, believe. And then let the Lord work it out. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. And after you have believed, you go about and confess the word of the Lord. You know, don't worry if people mock you like they did Abraham for 25 years. But he said, I know who I have believed. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now I want you to lift up your hands and praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. And if you have staggered at the voice of his word, if God has spoken a promise to you but you have staggered through unbelief or whatever, the Lord is merciful. He understands your, you know, conditions, and he understands us that we are dust and frame and so forth. But he wants us to be strong in faith. Jesus was never impressed with weak faith. But he used to rebuke the disciples all the time. Oh ye of little faith, oh ye of weak faith, he used to tell them. He never was impressed with that weak stuff. Get that weak stuff out of there. But he loved exciting and positive and strong faith. One time he said, oh my goodness, I've never seen faith so strong in Israel. Faith that would not be denied. Hallelujah. Faith that would not be denied. Even when the Lord said to her, you know, I cannot give children's bread and give it to dogs. She said, I will not be denied. Hallelujah. She would not be denied. And she still got what was coming to her. Now, if you are in here this morning, you need to energize your faith back to the word, the voice of his word, and the voice that he has given you, that has called you. God has shown you so many signs in your life. He's shown you this, he's shown you that. He's to draw you to that voice. He's to draw you to that word. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm going to close with prayer for anyone that needs any help in here this morning. We never want to close any service without giving people a chance to get all they can from the house of God. The Bible says, my house shall be the house of prayer. Hallelujah. And if you say in your heart this morning, Lord, I know what you have promised me. I know I have wavered a little bit. But I know that you are a merciful God. And I know that your word will never fail. And if you say in your heart this morning that, you know, well, maybe I haven't always obeyed the voice of the Lord. I have heard his voice, but didn't always obey. Well, there's room again for repentance this morning. And if that's you in here this morning, and you want to pray for a few minutes, I'm going to believe the Lord with you. And if you are here this morning, and you are believing God for something that the Lord promised you, which is not so far come to pass. And it seems as if it's far away. I want to tell you and assure you this morning that the Lord is here and He will fulfill His word. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, if that's you this morning, I'm going to read this scripture to you. And while I read it, I want you to come forward and let's believe the Lord together. And I'm going to read this to you in Ezekiel chapter 12. And here's what He wants me to tell you. Ezekiel chapter 12. And I'm going to read this to you. For I am the Lord. I will speak. And the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. And it shall be no more prolonged. Amen, somebody. That's Ezekiel 12 and 25. And it goes on to say in Ezekiel 12 and verse 28. Therefore say ye unto them this morning, thus saith the Lord God, that shall none of my words be prolonged anymore. But the word which I have spoken to you shall be done, saith the Lord of God. Saith the Lord God of hosts. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My words shall no longer be prolonged. The voice of the Lord that has spoken to you shall no longer be prolonged. But the word that voice has spoken shall be done, saith the Lord. Now lift up your hands and let's believe the Lord together. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, look at your people in here this morning, Lord. Hallelujah. I want to ask in Jesus' name that, Lord, you work a miracle on every heart here this morning. Hallelujah. And revive that which is dead. He said, can these bones live again? The word of God never dies. It's probably your faith that died. But revive your faith in His word this morning. And it shall be done, saith the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord Jesus. Praise ye the name of the Lord Jesus. Praise ye the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. The Lord grant you your request in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And that which the Lord has spoken to you, I want you to believe God. And you go home thanking God and rejoicing in His word. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. You may go back to your seats. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Amen.